gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our celebrity hotline jam-packed once again. Representative Chris Van Hollen of the great state of Maryland will tell us if Congress critters are actually doing anything about global warming.
Yes.
We'll find out about that. And the best pundit in the world, Paul Begala, on the celebrity hotline.
The only guy who can credibly wear cowboy boots with a suit.
Pulls it off somehow.
Yes.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy. Voice deity, Jim Warder. Me, Stephanie Miller. How about that president and that pirate situation?
Holy crap.
Talk to Paul Begala about that, huh?
Holy crap. Yeah. Was that awesome or what?
Oh. Jim, we're trying to get Jesse Ventura on because he's the only Navy SEAL we know. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he lives in Mexico, so he might be no en casa.
We may have to send Navy snipers to find him.
Yes.
He is in Casa. That's the problem.
Yes, okay.
Casa on the other side of it.
But that was so awesome.
How about that? The president not taking any credit. He just quietly handled the situation. No saber rattling in public. No nothing. He gave the order to, you know, to use force.
And twice.
Twice.
Damn. He's good.
Yes.
And the right wing is just, apoplectic.
Yes, they are.
Oh, this Somali situation.
How can we spin this, damn it?
The Somali situation didn't end the way we hoped.
Go after the dog. Just go after the dog.
That's
yes.
The most important news. The puppy.
Yes, let me do it.
And the right wing is apoplectic that it was on the front page of the Washington Post.
The puppy?
Yes. They were so pissed off.
The president masterfully handled a international incident. And meanwhile,
they're upset about the puppy.
The puppy's here. I must say they avoided the whole, because you know me, I'm a big dog rescue person.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit under the wire because you kind of can't criticize it because Ted Kennedy gave the dog. And technically, it was a rescue because I guess it didn't work out with the first family.
Right.
So technically, it's a rescue, and they're going to give money to the Humane Society. So I'm going to let this slide. However.
So what happens to the dogs from the puppy mill that don't get sold?
Stephanie.
We encourage people not to buy them.
Yes,
what
Stephanie.
Happens them?
What happens to them?
To China to become food?
You know, Mama will be doing an ASPCA walk here in Los Angeles on April 25th to raise money for a rescue organization, which
change
I'm very
subject.
Excited
very
about.
Good.
So come on out. And,
yeah, way to avoid the difficult subject, Stephanie.
I feel that people should set a good example by rescuing dogs because there are so many dogs killed every year.
However, the reality is, if people do nothing but rescue dogs, what happens to the puppies at breeders?
Anyway.
She doesn't want to know.
No, you don't want to know, do you?
Here's what the Obamas need now. A dog-friendly car.
A what?
However, it's not American, so they can't buy this.
They get
Honda.
Driven.
Honda.
They have the beast.
They get driven everywhere. They don't need a car.
Listen, you never know. They might need to go to Wally World or something. They're still a family. my friend and I saw that guy. I swear to God, it was the Griswold's car yesterday. You know that exact kind of old trailer?
The family truckster? in metallic P?
We were waiting to be asked for directions to Wally World.
Oh,
no. Oh, my God, it's the Griswold. All right, Honda has come out with a new pet-friendly Element SUV. The car is aimed at devoted dog owners. It features mesh safety requirements for dogs of all sizes in the comfortable cargo area that have been tested with crash test canine dummies. Hello. It includes a...
Okay,
yeah, I think that would be Max. He's a bit of a dummy. What?
He is.
He is not. Max is the smartest dog in the world.
No, he's not.
He's
very nice. He's adorable.
Chester, my St. Bernard.
Not the sharpest.
A little bit.
Oh, shit. A little bit dense.
Well, you know, Jim used to come over for years, and Chester, every time, never recognized him. Chester, it's Jim. Jim. No. So Jim just, there's a little dance we did. It just went on for years. Five minutes every time
somebody
Jim came
here.
Over. Yes,
thanks,
it's
Chester.
Jim.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
He had quite the nose, didn't he? includes a non-spill water dish and a ramp for dogs unable to jump in and out of the vehicle. About a $30,000 sticker price.
That's very important.
I know.
Especially for older dogs.
Uh-huh. Exactly. I had kind of a wild woman, wild weekend, excuse me, but I did not climb into a polar bear enclosure like this woman. Did you see this? This is, I believe, in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
How about this woman?
Oh, she jumped into the polar bear tank.
Dumb.
Yeah.
You know, I just think the Darwin law of Darwin should be in effect then. No offense to her, but if you actually climb into any sort of zoo enclosure, I think you kind of have it coming.
To pet the polar bears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She leapt over the bars at the Berlin Zoo during the bear's feeding time, which is also
good.
Take some special...
Get them all riled up and look like food as they're swimming through the water. That's
despite
horrific.
Six zookeepers' efforts to distract the four predators, the woman was bitten several times on the arms and legs. I love this in a shocking attack. No, that's not really shocking.
No,
not
shocking
jump
at all.
Over a polar bear enclosure at feeding time. That's not really
shocking
a shocking
stupidity.
Story.
It was shocking if it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it'd be shocking if she did not get.
Yeah,
exactly. The brave keepers eventually managed to push the bear away and pull the woman to safety. It's not known why the woman pulled the dangerous stunt, but she initially appeared to be elated as she swam toward a bear in the enclosure.
I'm guessing there's alcohol involved.
Elation that turned out to be short-lived.
Misplaced.
Yes.
Do they serve alcohol at the Berlin Zoo?
I'm sure they do.
They better stop if they do. Because wow. Yeah, that's... wasn't there a guy recently that wanted to kiss a polar bear? I think there was another zoo story like that.
Is this because that cute little polar bear, Knut?
Knut? Yeah.
Oh.
And
so Knut was not involved in this.
And so people...
He was there, but he wasn't involved in the melee.
Right. So people think that polar bears are these cute, cuddly things, when no, they're wild beasts that will kill
they're
you.
They're thinking of them from the Coke commercial. They're like, oh, look, they're like animatronic.
Some of them, I mean, they're raised by humans. Some they can sometimes be friendly, but then they forget and become wild animals again sometimes.
It's just, yes, humans feed them, but sometimes they forget where the meat leaves off and the arm starts.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's all meat, essentially.
Sure.
All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Today's Program, our top story, chia pet creator shocked after Walgreens pulled the Obama model from the shelves.
Oh.
Did you see the...
Oh, no.
It's a chia Obama.
No.
Which some people thought was a little bit racist. The creator of chia pet is cheesed off after Walgreens pulled a special edition chia Obama from its shelves, apparently over concerns that it might offend customers. A representative for Walgreens said the company dropped the product because they didn't want it to be misinterpreted.
Yeah.
I love the guy said, you can cut the afro. It's not like it has to be.
He said that?
Yes, you can trim it. The Chia Obama, a bust of the 44th president, was sprouting grass-like hair in the tradition of the classic Chia pet, was tugged at the Tampa and Chicago Walgreens stores as a test run that I guess didn't go so well. He disputed any suggestion that Chia's Obama chia hair was mocking the afro hairstyle, because as you know, you can trim your chia.
He doesn't have an afro.
All right. Who do we have?
Walgreens spokesman.
Oh, yes.
We regret that events have forced us to make the decision to discontinue sales of the Obama chia pet at all Walgreens stores. We realize that Mr. Haddad, the creator of said pet, had absolutely no disrespect in mind when he developed this particular incarnation. No, we found that when we test marketed it, there were several events that, well, let's say, gave us pause. To begin with, we had a number of customers ask us about the Obama chi-grow pet, which was wildly inappropriate. And then there were several nearsighted buyers who complained that the two-handle coffee mug had dirt in it, evidently mistaking the president's pronounced otology for finger grips. But the real kicker came when the plant grew out, and we had hordes of people pestering the manager that they couldn't find Julie and Pete to go with Link on the Mod Squad action figures. So, or if Sly Stone was making a comeback, and if so, where were his sequins? I will confess that corporate briefly contemplated commissioning Link and Julie chia pets just to diversify, but even we aren't that cold-bloodedly money-grubbing. So, out of respect for the president, we've discontinued our sales. However, I'd like to take the opportunity to announce its replacement. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to present the Michael Steele Lawn Jockey.
Get off your
high horse and let the de facto head of the Republican Party be the man who greets your house guests when they walk up the driveway.
Oh.
Oreo sold supper.
You can pelt him with?
Yes.
Okay. And finally, James Dobson admits defeat in farewell address to focus on the family.
Oh, this is awesome.
Can I have my tiny violin, please? Leaving evangelicals have admitted their association with George W. Bush not only hurt the cause of social conservatives, but contributed to the failure of key objectives of their 30-year struggle. James Dobson, who resigned recently as head of focus on the family, once denounced, do you remember the Harry Potter books as witchcraft?
Yes.
Witchcraft. Acknowledged the dramatic reverse for the religious right in a farewell speech to staff. He said, we tried to defend the unborn child, the dignity of the family, but it was a holding action. We are awash in evil, and the battle is still to be waged. We are right now in the most discouraging period of that long conflict. Humanly speaking, we can say we have lost all those battles.
All of them. Every single one.
We have by Dr. Dobson's thoughts.
I stand before you and our Lord and Savior, and I confess that I have failed. We set out to preach the gospel and save this Christian land from a descent into sin and perdition, and we have not succeeded. On the contrary, the forces of darkness reign everywhere in the land. Clearly a change in plan and concentration is called for. We must put our efforts into attacking the problem in a different way. In that light, I hereby announce a new Christian denomination. It's called the New Church of If You Can't Beat 'Em, Join 'Em. Yes, we must infiltrate Satan's army and destroy it from within. We shall embrace that which we fought against. Yes, bring your son into the shower with you and show him your penis. Then bring in that luscious little choir girl whose robe is so well filled out and show that little lad what that penis is for. Hell, bring in that cute choir boy, thereby undermining homosexuality by getting your gay freak on for Jehazus. We shall fight pornography by producing it. There'll be no lack of volunteers amongst the congregation to act in our films if porn consumption statistics are any guide. And as freaky as we evangelicals are, they're going to be hot. Smoking hot. No need to tithe. The box office will take care of any funding. Yes, my flock. Life is short and our energies must never flag. I just thank God I realized what my duty is before I'm called to my reward. Let's go. I gotta make up a lot of time. In Jesus' name I pray.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. It's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Balderall.
Let the flag fly, finally.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of alliteration there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Jim Ward's apocryphal, but true. Get there through the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. What is it now? It's not a banner ad. It's a what?
It's a tile ad.
Tile ad.
Oh.
I have no idea.
That means it's more square than rectangular
shape.
Okay. That's all it means.
How great is that? Yeah. Can you please take back out your tiny violin?
Again?
Sad story. The rest of the Dr. Dobson story. His confession comes amid a growing concern that church attendance in the U.S. is heading the way of Britain, where no more than 10% worship every week. Unease is rising that a nation founded in the view of evangelicals purely as a Christian country, which
computer says no.
Actually incorrect in the first place, but that's all right. That we may be coming post-Christian, mostly because of idiots like Dr. Dobson.
Yes.
That's why. Despite a common distaste among evangelicals for the new Democratic president, who is regarded as at best a diehard pro-abortion liberal and at worst a Marxist, a serious rift is emerging among social conservatives in the wake of his election victory. A growing legion of disenchanted grassroots believers does not blame liberal opponents for the decline in faith or failures of the religious right. Rather, they hold responsible Republicans, particularly Mr. Bush.
Hey.
And groups like Focus on the Family that have worked with the party for courting Christian voters only to betray promises of pursuing the conservative agenda once in office. Good job. That's what you need to do. You need to get more exclusionary and mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Even more. I think that's a good, oh dear, it's another exciting edition of Republicans Eating Their Own. It makes me sad to report it.
And it's time for another episode of Republicans Eating Their Own.
It could be because of headlines like this. Far-right group claims connection between gay marriage and mass murder.
What?
We will tell you
sure,
who.
Sure, it's only logical.
Mm-hmm. We'll tell you the
I can't wait to hear this.
Logic behind that as we continue 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sandy in Chicago on the Chia Obama. Hello, Sandy.
Hi.
Hello.
I work in the aforementioned Walgreens in the northern Chicago suburbs, uh-huh. And not only did we have Obama Chia, we had two poses.
Oh really? Oh.
Two different versions of it?
Yes.
What were the poses?
The determined pose. and the happy pose.
Oh, very good.
They were so tacky. I'm so glad.
And now there's the new resolving an international pirate incident.
Yes.
Version.
Right by the front door is where they kept them too.
And holding the new puppy version. There's that one too. Yay. Wow. Okay, so we were just, Jim, you were just saying earlier, how is the right wing going to spin this on the president masterfully solving this international incident? Well, what the fox, Chris?
Listener Jeff from Alexandria wrote in and said, this morning on Fox News, the host asked viewers to write in about President Obama taking too much credit for the resolution of the hostage crisis.
Mm-hmm. What the fox? If you listened to the president or heard his statement, he took absolutely no credit whatsoever for the incident. He gave all the credit to the captain. Okay, good job, Fox. What the?
They're liars.
As it turns out, the captured Somali pirate, Jim, that'll be a law enforcement matter, you see.
What?
Mm-hmm.
But it was terrorism. It's law enforcement.
Uh-huh.
Law enforcement is gay.
No saber-rattling, no fear-mongering, no nothing. In fact, he deliberately kept out of the news during this because he was handling it quietly.
Yes.
So as not to inflame the situation with the pirates. Okay.
It wasn't good for me to
get him. We're going to get him, dead or alive. Smoke him out.
Yeah, can you imagine if W was still in?
Here come the SEALs. They're going to get you. Come on. What?
Yeah, he'd give it away.
Yeah. You think you can beat the Navy SEALs? Bring it on! It's like, oh, shut up!
No, don't speak.
Don't you think? It would have been a bring it on moment if Bush was still in office.
And the captain would be dead.
He would have been on TV every day with his little... All right. We're going to smoke him out in pirates. He would have probably had press conferences with parrots on his shoulder. And, yeah. You know he would. All right, Chris.
We'll make him walk the plank.
Chris, could you take your organ out for me, please? We just did the story on Dr. James Dobson admitting defeat as he resigned as the head of Focus on the Family. Mother Jones magazine reporting on another far-right group that claims a connection between gay marriage and mass murder. This could be the reason for the decline of Christianity in the country. Is there a connection between same-sex marriage and mass murder?
Computer says no.
Well, that's what one religious right outfit is suggesting this week. Morality in media.
Oh, them.
See, because it's missing, apparently, in media, unless there were a group named Morality in
Media.
Gotcha. They disseminated a statement noting that the Iowa Supreme Court had legalized gay marriage on the same day that a gunman murdered 13 people in Binghamton, New York. Huh? That was a coincidence. Huh?
You're kidding.
What? No, not kidding. Not kidding. The headline on their release, Connecting the Dots. The line between gay marriage and mass murder. The group's president, Bob Peters.
There are no dots.
Notes that the, quote, underlying problem is that increasingly we live in a post-Christian society where Judeo-Christian faith and values have less and less influence. And, he continues, this secular value system is also reflected in the sexual revolution, which is the driving force behind the push for gay marriage. So you see how that's directly... He said, it's my intention to point out that the success of the sexual revolution is inversely proportional to the decline in morality, and it is the decline in morality that is the underlying cause of our modern-day epidemic of mass murders. He's not saying gay rights activists are directly responsible for the murderous actions of gun-toting madmen, but Peters maintains that those who champion gay rights are undermining the moral fiber, you see, of the thing.
You are an idiot!
All right, 28 minutes after the hour, right back with Representative Chris Van Hollen and what Congress is doing on global warming as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I sometimes wonder if all women are this difficult.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, you know, you sit around and you think, is Congress actually doing anything about global warming and...
Whatever.
Anything about anything. If only somebody... What? Chris, who is it?
Representative Chris Van Hollen from the great state of Maryland.
He's the guy that's doing something. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am fine. First, I have to get your take on the president's handling of this Somali pirate situation, because I thought it was just masterful.
I thought it was handled very well. Look, he's gotten off to a great start on the national security front overall, And he clearly handled this one incident very well. He told the military that they were free to take action if there was imminent danger to the captain's life, and it turned out there was, and so they acted. So, look, all around, by not trying to hype it up too much at the beginning and then resolving it in a, obviously, a very good way at the end, this is something that I think people were looking at this as a early test, and I think he passed well. In the bigger picture, I think that his strategy toward Afghanistan and Pakistan is one that was well thought out and finally begins to address the security issues in that region.
Well, Representative Van Hollen, we were just saying that before the break, that one can only imagine what the situation would have been like under George W. Bush. But I imagine there would have been a lot of bring it on,
smoke him out.
Dead or alive moments.
Shield in. Kick your ass.
Right, this was the sort of following the advice of Teddy Roosevelt, which is, quietly to carry a big stick. You don't have to hype it up. You don't have to make a lot of noise. You just need to get the job done.
Yep.
And that's what they did, and that's what they're trying to do in other parts of the world.
We were saying that this morning Fox News is asking the question, did the president take too much credit for this? And if you saw he didn't even go before the cameras yesterday. He released a statement that saluted the bravery of the military and the captain, but claimed absolutely no credit. For himself.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, look, these guys are grasping for straws these days. I mean, it's unbelievable. You have the vice president out there trying to take, peremptory shots at President Obama in terms of his handling national security. They just can't stand it, apparently, when things go well. Fact of the matter is, this was handled extremely well. Of course, you never know how something like this will turn out, but clearly the way they approached it was the right way.
Yeah, no, let me explain what our friends on Fox News are talking about. After the president's triumphant overseas trip as well, that I want to get your take on, here is Charles Krauthammer on Fox News.
The height difference between Obama and the King of Saudi Arabia is minor. It would be a plausible explanation if he had been greeting the king of the Oompa Loompas. However, by my examination and looking at the garb, that does not appear to be the case.
Congressman, that's the international incident on Fox. It's bowgate that they think the president bowed to the leader of Saudi Arabia.
Again, these guys are looking for the smallest things to try and bring down the president. Rush Limbaugh said earlier, we all remember, that they were all hoping the president will fail, and now they're just looking for every little thing to try and latch on to. You would think that at this kind of moment, people would want to support the president and his efforts in Afghanistan and Pakistan and other challenges around the world. And the fact of the matter is, as you just pointed out, when it came to the incident of the Somali pirates, what the president did was give credit to the SEALs and those folks who, masterminded the rescue operation. He gave the go-ahead order. He had a standing order to go ahead, use their best judgment. They did, and it worked out. And what he was out there praising was the folks who helped make it happen.
Well, Congressman, Congressman Van Hollen, I think, we keep saying this. They just keep playing small ball, it seems like, because they don't have anything else. I mean, here you guys are really, I think, trying to address global warming, and you've got Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann basically misquoting an MIT study that the author of the MIT study has said these figures are incorrect that they're trying to use. How do you debate this stuff with these guys in Congress?
Well, small ball is the name of their game. There's no doubt about it. And that's, pretty evident the way they handled this response to the Somali pirate rescue, as well as the other comments they've made about the president's trip. He is playing a big picture game. The president understands that we've got a lot of catching up to do after the last 8 years, especially on the big issues of health care policy and energy policy. When it comes to the cap and trade issue, cap and dividend, the fact of the matter is that the Republicans have their head in the sand. I mean, they're in total denial about the problem. We recognize that this is a difficult challenge. I mean, trying to come up with policies to address global climate change and energy independence are big issues, but we're reaching out to them and saying, look, let's try and work this out together. And all they've got is these kind of, trying to take pot shots, Michelle Bachmann, making up the figures. It's business.
Yeah, you're not entitled to your own math, right, Congressman?
Well, that's right, and that's the problem here. I mean, people, they're facts. We should all at least agree to a certain set of facts out there, and then we can disagree as to the policies. But these guys are, again, they're in denial as to the facts.
Congressman,
the continuation of the way the last administration dealt with issues of science.
Congressman, let's, for us lay people out here that are not good with the math, let's explain what's happening. So House Democrats have unveiled the first outline of their climate change bill. So Waxman and Markey support giving away some free allowances to industries that are most vulnerable to international competition, such as steel, glass, and paper. Now, I know you've proposed a cap and dividend bill. Explain what all this means to us, for those of us that don't know what cap and trade and all that means.
Sure. Look, the overall problem here is that we are putting much too much CO2, carbon dioxide emissions, to the atmosphere, not just us, but others around the world, the Chinese and the Indians. So all of us recognize that if we're going to deal with this, we need to have provisions in here that at least put American industry on a fair playing field. In other words, you can't allow others to get an in competitive edge as a result of CO2 emissions. But we also recognize we need to take leadership. And so what these bills do is try and put a cap overall on CO2 emissions, protect U.S. exports, as well as make sure that other countries can't get a competitive advantage with imports. But then what we do in the bill that I proposed is return the proceeds of sales of these permits. Right now, if you're polluting with CO2, you're free just to spew it into the air. What we want to do is put a price on carbon emissions. We recognize that that could increase some energy costs to consumers. In the bill that I've introduced, we then return all that money to the consumer in the form of a dividend. Mm-hmm. So that the consumer has an incentive to look for clean energy, because the cost of energy with dirty or CO2-rich sources will go up. But then the money is returned to the consumer, so that the consumer's pocketbook does not get hard hit. And there are a number of different proposals out there. The Markey Waxman proposal is right. A good start. In fact, they've left a lot of room for discussion in their bills, and we just tried to flesh out some of those areas.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, you try to follow this whole argument, because I know your approach is gaining traction from Republicans, it looks like, because we obviously got to get this passed. But this, people like the Sierra Club fear the free allowances will create a windfall for polluting companies. You don't want to give it all back to people who are creating pollution to make a profit. What's your response to that?
Well, I oppose the idea of free allowances as well. At the same time, and so the bill that I've introduced does not have any free allowances. The way we deal with the issue of we have an auction,
right,
and everybody has to purchase these permits through an auction process. And again, the proceeds of that are ultimately returned directly to the consumer under the approach that we've taken. But the Sierra Club is, I believe, right on this issue, that it's a mistake to give away a lot of free allowances going forward. At the same time, we have to find a way to deal with the impact on domestic industry. And that's why the bill I've introduced, as well as the Waxman-Markey bill, contain provisions to do that. For example, let's say you have a company in China that's manufacturing steel, and they're using a lot of, you know, coal or CO2-rich
right.
sources, and then they're selling that product in the U.S. market. You don't want them to be able to sell their steel more cheaply in the U.S. market because they're using the more polluting fuel source. And so what we would do is make sure that when the Chinese steel gets to the border here, they have to pay a fee based on the cost that U.S. manufacturers are having to pay in mm-hmm. order to meet the U.S. regime. And that's only fair. And that also provides, frankly, an incentive to Chinese or the Indians or others
right.
to begin to play ball.
Right. I understand. You know, Chris, I was going to say, boy, it is a lot of different plans and competing plans, but I want to say that I like you, and I'm going to go with your plan. It makes a lot of sense.
To be on board.
This is a lot of studying for one interview.
Here's the deal. This is obviously a hugely complicated issue, but it's one that we've got to deal with. I mean, it's easy to kick the ball down the road. It's easy
right.
to ignore it. We've ignored it for 8 years. Nobody on the Democratic side says this is an easy issue, but we're saying let's solve it. You know, we cannot ignore this any longer, and it's unfortunate that our friends on the Republican side are just trying to politicize the issue totally. I mean, they're not stepping up to the plate to try and solve these problems, whether it's this one or
Well, you know, you've got John Boehner standing up and, again, you know, misquoting this MIT study and going, oh, it's going to cost the American family $3,000. It's like the guy that did the study said, no, it's $30. It's $30, you know. I mean, how do you even have an argument about that when they're not even using the right figures?
Yeah, you should get it from the guy who wrote the study.
Yeah, that's a little tip for you.
That's probably a good source.
All right. Congressman Van Hollen, thanks so much, as always, for taking time for us.
Good to be with you.
All right, you too, sir. There he goes. Representative Chris Van Hollen.
I think you're taking too much credit for this interview.
You know what?
I really think you are.
I'm holding a press conference to take more credit for it right after this. 43 minutes after the hour. All right, back with all the latest on the Somali pirate situation and much more. It's okay to do now. It's okay. The captain's safe. He can do that now. Okay. Exactly. 44 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kathy in Chicago on the pirate situation. Hi, Kath.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was watching Morning Joe this morning.
I'm sorry.
And somebody should really cancel that show.
I know. If only there was something to replace it.
We need you guys.
Great idea.
Yeah. You know, Joe and Pappy Cannon were sitting there discussing the pirate situation and making, they shot three guys who were sticking their heads out the window anyway. Like, you know, they just cannot give this president any credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And I can't. Yeah, I can't.
I mean, can you only imagine, Kathy, if this had gone awry, what they would be saying?
Did you watch Meet the Press yesterday?
I missed it.
David Gregory was just so hoping that this was all going to go wrong, because he kept asking the panel, well, what's going to happen if this doesn't work? What's going to happen if this doesn't go for his way?
It's going to be another Black Hawk down. Exactly.
He was just salivating. They got to get their act straight. They really do. No matter what they do, they're not going to bring this president down.
Yep, absolutely.
I lost all respect for David Gregory. He was dancing with Karl Rove at the correspondence dinner thing.
Oh, the rap.
Ugh. Mm. Ugh.
Yes.
It's just, they're just looking for a hook.
I know. I know, because it would be a bigger story if it was a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn it. It worked. Son of a bitch.
I know.
Can he do anything wrong?
Negotiations with the three pirates were apparently growing heated, according to the vice admiral. Well, one of them pointed an AK-47 at the back of the captain's head, who was tied up and in imminent danger of being killed when the commander of the nearby USS Bainbridge made the split-second decision to order his men to shoot. Jim, you said the president gave the order twice to use force. Navy snipers took aim at the pirates' heads and shoulders. The lifeboat was about 25 to 30 yards away and was being towed by the Bainbridge at the time. A fourth pirate surrendered earlier in the day. It could face a life at a U.S. prison. Huh? It's a law enforcement matter, Jim. Huh?
What?
It seems like we actually catch the guys that do the bad things and put them in jail, and according to the right wing, that's a bad thing, I guess.
You got to start a war.
Yeah.
You got to start a war on all of Africa just to be on the safe side.
We need to bomb Somalia now.
Actually, according to Bloomberg this morning, U.S. military considers attacks on Somali pirates' land bases. So, there's going to be some hell to pay for this.
Meaning what?
What?
Meaning, but there's going to be some hell to pay for this.
Yes. Now that, the real people are in charge of America, we're going after the Somalis, Somali pirates' land bases, so just take them out, which is good.
Sailors passed along a message from Andrea Phillips to her husband. Richard, your family loves you, your family's praying for you, and your family is saving a chocolate Easter egg for you unless your son eats it first. Aww, that was cute.
Kind of cute.
This captain, you've got to love him, because first of all, he, sacrificed himself for his crew. That's how he got in that situation in the first place. And then after the rescue, he said, I'm just the byline, the real heroes of the Navy, the SEALs, and those who have brought me home. And ironically, Jim, we were talking about some of the reasons for this that, people are talking about that haven't necessarily been confirmed yet, but overfishing and dumping of waste and stuff like that. That's just, it's making the whole situation inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, this ship you know, that was captured was had been carrying food aid bound for Somalia, Rwanda, and Uganda when the incident began. Eric Holder, Attorney General.
There has not been an act of piracy, I think, against the United States vessel as a vessel in hundreds of years, and so I'm not sure exactly what would happen, but we'll obviously do what we have to do to make sure that the maritime life of this nation is protected.
Dave in Chicago on the pirate situation. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, George Bush put his 2 cents in on the pirate situation. He said he would have bombed Penzance.
All right, thank you. I know, wasn't it your first thought? Oh, thank God he's not still president.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton. Yes.
Piracy may be a centuries-old crime, but we are working to bring an appropriate 21st century response.
By the way, our friends on the Fox News?
Yes.
While we were in a very tense international incident like this that the president was handling behind the scenes, they thought they'd make a little joke about it.
If President Obama stops talking and actually decides correctly by listening to our military, we will free the captain and kill or capture the pirates and take this opportunity to take out more pirates. Mm. If he listens to his intimate advisors and the State Department, the pirates will get a bailout package like everybody else.
Moron.
That's not what happened, moron. Okay.
Yeah, that was your typical Foxbird.
Okay, could I have my fine American music, please? The, what is this? Associated Press analysis. Obama beats first national security test. President Obama's no-drama handling of the Indian Ocean hostage crisis proved a big win for his administration in its first critical national security test. And as we said, they're already spinning it the opposite on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are they going to spin this? Obama's quiet backstage decision to authorize the Defense Department to take necessary action if Captain Richard Phillips' life was in imminent danger gave a Navy commander the go-ahead to order snipers to fire on the pirates holding the cargo ship captain at gunpoint. For Obama, the benefits were instantly clear, an American life saved, and a major victory notched against an increasingly worrisome scourge of the seas off the Horn of Africa. The rescue appeared to vindicate Obama's muted but determined handling of the incident. Yeah, remember they were already screaming last week? And, you know, he's not saying anything. What? He's not talking about this. He's like,
he's doing stuff behind the scenes like a real president is supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. Go on TV and inflame the situation.
Off.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the other guy.
Obama did not go before the cameras yesterday to trumpet the success, instead releasing a written statement that saluted the bravery of the military.
A written statement saluting the bravery of the military. Typical.
But claimed no credit for himself. It goes a long
See
way.
See how he's claiming credit for himself by not claiming credit for himself?
See how he's tricky like that?
It's so
a lot of Muslims are like that.
Muslim, communist,
socialist. France.
That's exactly what a Muslim socialist would do.
France.
It goes some way toward dispelling the notion that a liberal Democrat with a known distaste for war doesn't have the chops to call on U.S. military power. Yeah, well, he does when it's necessary.
Yeah. Which is why soldiers gave 6-1. Campaign donations to Obama over McCain.
The sniper operation on Sunday was a daring high-stakes gambit, and it could easily have gone awry. If it had, the fallout would probably have landed the hardest on Obama. Yeah, that would have been 24/7 on Fox for the next month.
Yeah.
Indeed, the last Democratic president to unleash American military might against Somalia suffered miserably from the failure of that operation, Clinton and Black Hawk Down, obviously. Since the standoff began last Tuesday, Obama made no public in-person remarks on the topic, even declining to answer when questions were shouted at him during a press availability. And see, last week, Jim, that was, as you know, gay in French. He let the military and top administration officials do the talking, but even they kept saber-rattling out of the equation. White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel said Obama's silence should not be interpreted to mean he wasn't deeply involved. Yeah, a lot of stuff the president does, you don't hear about, you morons.
We're entitled to know everything the president does all the time.
The president's public posture was calculated to not raise the temperature on the situation or give the hostage takers anything to exploit. Let's not confuse a public role with being on top of the situation, Emanuel said.
Yeah.
If you'd interjected yourself, you would make the discussions that were happening more difficult. So what, they would have had to bound and gag George Bush and put him in a closet.
What are you guys talking about? I'm going to interject myself.
Kick your ass! Bring it on, pirates!
Go out, they're alive.
So what Obama did was receive regular briefings, sometimes as often as half a dozen a day. He weighed in on two critical decisions, allowing the military to take action to save Phillips' life, and he laid the groundwork for federal criminal law enforcement response.
What?
What, you mean like Clinton did and actually put the people in jail that do the bad stuff instead of having them running around like Osama bin Laden? Oh, That was an unfortunate comparison for George Bush, wasn't it? 57 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel talking more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. CNN's Paul Begala, the best pundit in the world. On the Celebrity Hotline, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive Producer Chris Lavoie, Voice Deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. The President, as you know, the big news, the breaking news this morning, the President resolved an international incident, and that is they finally got him puppy. That was the incident. And it's a Portuguese water dog that's a trained Navy sniper. Wait.
What?
I think I got the two top stories confused.
Yeah.
The President's puppy here.
The puppy got off three shots, all of them fatal?
That is a water dog.
Yeah.
You were saying that was the fun fact about the Somali pirate crisis. There were three pirates killed, three shots fired, all of them fatal.
Yep.
Yeah, wow. As Jim said, some people should be allowed to play with guns.
Yes.
Others, not so much.
Not so much. Yeah, Second Amendment mentions a well-regulated militia.
Right. Yes, now that's a well-regulated militia.
Not yahoos who go shooting cops.
All the taxpayer money that was saved on bullets. Think about that. That only cost us three bullets, ladies and gentlemen.
Fiscal responsibility.
That's right.
There was a horrifying story in 60 Minutes last night about these gun shows where you can buy assault rifles without any identification.
Yeah.
Just pay the guy a little extra. Here, knock yourself out.
Here's a 20 under the table.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, I'm going to say this guy is a guy that probably should not have guns because, you know, Mama believes the...
I believe the children are our future.
It's also one of those people that are calling 911 for the wrong reasons.
Oh, no. The
last woman complained that she didn't get enough chicken McNuggets.
Whatever.
A Florida man calls 911 because his kids wouldn't listen to him. He seemed intoxicated. An hour later, the man's wife called 911 and said her husband was angry and calling the children no good pieces of kids.
Oh, that's sad.
The man agreed to go to a detox center, but on the way he began to spit and blow his nose on the seat in the back of the deputy's patrol car. He also screamed and called his wife a profane name until then passed out.
That's
not just everybody should be a parent or own a gun, is all I'm saying.
It's kind of sad because the kids are...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
And I'm not a legal expert, but I don't think cops like it when you snot on the back of their seat.
No.
I think right away that's going to not end well for you. All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Zac Efron has a man crush on Daniel Craig. The High School Musical star, 21, says he and his girlfriend, Vanessa Hudgens,
You're drunk.
Mm-hmm. Think the James Bond actor is the ultimate Hollywood hunk. One of the Bond, what's his name? Oh, Sean Connery had some thoughts on this.
So, it seems there are two new actors on the scene who have a thing for Daniela. I don't know who they are, but from what I understand, I have leftover haggish in the fridge that's older than they are. And it seems they're famous for appearing in a High School Musical. Oh, Daniela, has it come to this at last? Not content with troweling the gay all over my glorious masculine legacy of Bond... You've now started spreading the contagion to the younger generation, and you're working both sides of the street. James is very nice, very handsome, very androgynous Zach person, has what he calls a man crush on you, and his purported girlfriend, Vanessa, thinks you're a stud for deluded children. I blame myself. If I'd never allowed the old auntie Roger Moore to poof up the image of Bond, the door would have been closed to you and these two sexually confused youngsters could get the therapy they need. Perhaps there's hope yet. I see the pretty little Vanessa is 18. Perhaps she could join my other 18-year-olds for a little tasting session.
Oh.
Whiskey. Talking about whiskey.
Uh-huh.
I'm old and slow now, but I'll sacrifice myself to save straight women one at a time, however long it takes. I'd do it for Scotland. I'm sure.
Yeah, something tells me Sean Connery wouldn't like Zac Efron and his androgyny.
He's not for androgyny.
Line up, you wee poof.
He comes from a day when there was no metrosexuals. They were only wee poofs.
That's right.
Okay, and finally...
Poofties.
The headline in is Polish politician fumes over gay elephant in zoo.
Oh.
A Polish politician has criticized his local zoo for acquiring a gay elephant named Nino, who prefers male companions and will probably not procreate. We didn't pay $11 million for the largest elephant house in Europe to have a gay elephant live in there. Said McAlgris. A conservative. Who could have seen that coming?
But I'll bet you the elephant pen is tastefully appointed.
Exactly.
He's a conservative councillor in the city of Poznan.
Poznan.
Mm-hmm. We were supposed to have a
herd.
You
don't know about Polish pronunciation.
No. But, and I'm a Polish.
Yeah, letters, I know. If anybody would know, you would know, Stephanie.
They pronounce letters that aren't there and don't pronounce ones that are. Ah. It's very confusing.
Okay. See? We were supposed to have a herd, but as Nino prefers male friends over females, how will he produce offspring, said Grzz, who is from the right-wing opposition Law and Justice Party. The head of the zoo said the 10-year-old Nino may be too young to decide whether he prefers males or females, as elephants only reach sexual maturity at 14.
Mm.
They go through a whole androgynous metrosexual phase.
Just like Zac Efron.
In a related story.
Yeah, they have a shag haircut, you know, up until they're 14, and it's the whole thing.
What's that, Chris? Do we have the gay Polish elephant? Of course we do.
Oh, snap. So is his breeder councilman, he goes, none has his panties in the water about the fact that I'm liking the boy elephants. He seems to think I'm spoiling his brand new elephant house. Well, what did he expect? If you're going to build an elephant house with landscaped grounds, crown moldings, hand-rubbed concrete, and fabulous window treatments, well, honey, don't you think you're going to see a pink elephant or two strolling the grounds? If he wanted sperm donor hetero procreator elephants, he should have just thrown some hay in the gully and left a keg of beer around, and some calendar shots of naked lady elephants. He should be proud to have the likes of me here, because he should know I'm just going to keep gentrifying the place. And what would he rather have, drunken elephant frat boys on the lawn, or well-planned and elegantly run garden parties? Would he prefer to stumble over half-full used elephant condoms, or stop to admire the perfectly tended hydrangeas? Face it, Mr. Councilman, I'm here and I'm queer, so trunk you!
Get it, cause...
Yeah.
Cause okay, yeah. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. My Polish grandma would have loved that bit. If you'd like more Jim Ward Balderall.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True, for which there's a Tile ad.
Tile ad.
Ooh, check it out.
The Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
I wonder if that Polish elephant liked burned sauerkraut.
You mean my Polish sauerkraut that I make every Thanksgiving?
Burned sauerkraut. Yes, the one that you fry up in a pan.
It's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you hate when the economy is going as badly as it is and you've either lost your job or about to, that they publish that damn celebrity salary thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's just...
Oh, my
just
God.
Just shut up about it.
Good for you that you made that much, okay? Jennifer Aniston earned $27 million. Will Ferrell made $31 million last year. Patrick Dempsey, McDreamy, only made $3.5 million. You can't live on that here.
He made more than Britney Spears?
Apparently he did. Well, Britney made 2.25.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She's on the comeback trail.
Okay.
Beyonce scored $80 million
Whoa.
Last year, and her husband...
Jay-Z?
Did even better at $82 million.
She's
a slacker in that household.
Good for them.
He's probably like, get me a beer, you slacker. You only made $80 million. drug-addled gasbag Rush Limbaugh walked away with $38
million.
I need to either get crazier or more drug-addled or something. Something just isn't going right.
Or maybe you need to turn right.
Yeah.
Guess so. Yeah. Sarah Palin made $125,000. Her TV impersonator Tina Fey made $4.6 million. Yeah. So there is a God there. Because that's as it should be, I believe. Oh, all right. Pam Anderson has sparked rumors that she is set to marry for a fourth time. You know,
is there another tape on the way?
I don't know if there's a tape, but you know what? I suspect her judgment in men is not so much.
No.
Tommy Lee, Kid Rock, and the guy that taped her, Rick Solomon, he's the one that taped himself having sex with Paris Hilton and sold it on the internet.
She was married to him?
Yeah.
Really?
She's currently dating a scuba diver. Jamie Paget, somebody, whatever. Maybe he put a bag over her, a burlap sack, until she agreed to marry him. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a way I can put this. It's not really filthy. Never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Just filling me in the thought bubble, the whole thing about the sex tape with Tommy Lee.
No,
okay.
Something about, you know, diving.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. That was good. We understand. Billy Bob Thornton and his band, the Boxmasters, was booed by Toronto fans. Angered by his likening Canadian audiences to mashed potatoes with no gravy. In a bizarre interview with the CBC, he dropped the last
It's like saying we're like poutine without cheese, eh? Cheese curds.
He dropped the last two remaining Canadian dates of Willie Nelson's tour. I guess he was opening for Willie Nelson. Hmm. Thornton's publicist said canceling the show had nothing to do with Thornton's reception in Canada.
Course.
It is absolutely not because of the CBC interview, which you know what that means when a publicist says
that's
that.
That's exactly
It's because
why.
Of the CBC interview.
What? Mashed potatoes without gravy? What the hell does that even mean?
One of the band members and several of the crew had the flu.
Oh.
You're a lying sack of crap.
The flu.
Surprised it wasn't exhaustion.
You're a lying and dehydration.
Yeah.
Nasty sack of liquid crap.
And I saw him at the LA theater.
Always...
It was very good, Billy.
Oh, really?
Billy Bob.
I always get a little bit suspicious of the dehydration excuse because if we know anything, celebrities have access to the fancy bottled water. They do have a... hydration. The CBC interview veered at times into the absurd, with Thornton refusing to answer questions and becoming increasingly belligerent. I've been through this. I know why this happened. The host made reference to Thornton's long award-winning acting career in his introduction to the show, something he'd apparently been told not to do by Thornton's...
But that's what he's known for.
You know, I've done the television interviews. Celebrities are very prickly. See, here's what happened, because he wants to be known as a musician, so you're not supposed to mention...
That he has a few Oscars.
But everyone knows that he's... Oh, well.
I know. Here are some things I learned. Would you like some fun facts about Mama's Disastrous television career? Here's some things I've learned.
Oh, no.
Jennifer Beals does not like you to mention Flashdance.
But...
Okay, I'm just saying. And Lauren Bacall, do not bring up Bogey with Lauren Bacall. You know
really?
I did that. You know I did that.
Or Frank Sinatra.
No, I told you the producers ran a piece that actually had it in there, and she started muttering. She was next to me on the couch. She's like, oh, I just went on the Mary Jason Robots. Like, I just went on the next day. How dare they? They told me they wouldn't. It was just, oh, it was.
Oh, dear.
Yes, and then I had to come out and do the live interview.
And then the interview was live?
Yeah, and then the producer's in my ear, ask about Bodie. Ask about Bogey. I'm like, you're not sitting here. She's old, but she'll kill me with one finger.
Yes, I'm sure she's killed many people with one finger before.
Yeah.
She's
are,
not
know,
her
we
own
had that,
finger. She paid someone else.
Okay.
We once had that guy a long time ago on the radio, that guy that does the funny noises with his mouth in the police.
Michael.
The Police Academy movies.
Right. What the hell's his name?
Yeah.
You know what you're not supposed to do?
What?
On the Ripper radio interview?
Ask him to do funny noises?
With his mouth. Cause
right. He doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah, because
right. He's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
What has he been in?
He's prickly about that.
Musical theater in Jupiter, Florida? I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Oof. 20 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest on the Somali pirate situation and much more. Will there be revenge? We'll find out next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rick in Chicago on the tea parties, the Fox News-sponsored tax revolt, anti-Obama, whatever. Hi, Rick.
Yes, hello. Good morning, folks.
Yes.
I don't necessarily consider myself Democratic or Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been listening to your show for a while, and you seem I appreciate your refreshing portrayal of reality as opposed to the other side. But my question is...
You don't have to twist reality if it's real.
Understood. That,
yes.
That's why I corrected myself. I'm sorry. My question is, can you please explain for me and the rest that are just curious, what is the purpose of the Tea Party? What do they hope to to accomplish.
It's just an anti-Obama rallies that are sponsored by Fox News, essentially, which where Fox News personalities will make appearances.
Well, hoping there'll be another revolution, probably.
Yeah, and they're trying to make it seem like it's some sort of grassroots thing, but it's being heavily promoted by Fox.
And far-right people want to get together and teabag.
Yes. Yes.
Very clever. Okay.
All right.
Well, I guess that
answers your question.
I thought it was. Thank you.
By which you meant dipping bags of tea in hot water.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
of course you did.
Yes. Here are the fun facts, by the way, from the FoxNews.com. Mm. They have given recipes to give effective tea parties. That's weird, because it's almost like a national television network is kind of directing sort of political revolt against the president.
I thought they said they weren't involved in any way. They were only reporting on
they're
it.
They're just saying.
Okay.
They're just reporting on effective recipes. You decide. Want to throw a tea party? You're not alone. According to FoxNews.com, activists are brewing more than 500 rallies nationwide to protest, quote, runaway government spending. Huh. I guess they're late on this because they didn't do this during the Bush administration and their $1.3 trillion deficit. Weird. Let's see. As part of the Tax Day Tea Party movement. Brought to you by Fox News.
Yeah.
Crowds of up to 10,000, many of whom are believed to be participating in political protests for the first time, are expected at major events from Atlanta to San Antonio to Sacramento on Wednesday. Smaller movements are scheduled in all 50 states as an inherently decentralized movement, except that it's sponsored by Fox.
Which is centrally located in New York City.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong way to hold a Tea Party protest, but here are a few trips to maximize the effect of your message, organizers tell FoxNews.com, the organizers being people that work at FoxNews.com.
Mm-hmm.
Using social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter, would-be Tea Party organizers contact friends, relatives, and colleagues to spread the word while simultaneously setting up a website for the cause. Once that happens, people start coming out of the woodwork to volunteer. Uh-huh. See, then it becomes a grassroots thing and not something sponsored by Fox News. It's an internet phenomenon that they're just reporting on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where people are getting those ideas from. Neil in Casper, Wyoming on the Tea Parties. Hi, Neil.
Hi. Are the Republicans who participate in this, are they known as log cabin teabaggers?
All right. Listen, kids, come on now. All right now.
I think it's more AstroTurf than grassroots. See, because it's phony.
Okay.
I don't think participants in the tea parties have still grasped what teabagging actually is.
No. It's entertaining to keep reporting on it.
About it.
Okay.
If you don't know, Google it.
If you don't know, ask Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
All right. Keith in Schaumburg writes, Steph, so Fox News says Obama is taking too much credit for taking out the pirates. I guess I missed Obama landing on the aircraft carrier and giving a speech under a sign proclaiming mission accomplished. Thank you, Keith. Yes. He didn't even make an appearance of any kind. Jimmy released a written statement applauding the bravery of the captain and the military.
It's so refreshing when things get done without any showboating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just proud of this country today.
Thank you. The U.S., by the way, treating the matter as a criminal case, much like Bill Clinton did with the people that did the original World Trade Center bombing, who are now in jail.
That's right.
Unlike Osama bin Laden, who
George Bush let escape.
Yes. Yes. Who George Bush, just so you know, did not get dead or alive or smoke out.
Mm-hmm.
There were 800 Army Rangers waiting to do that, and he ordered them not to do so, to stand down, so he could let people friendly to Osama bin Laden go get him. Good plan!
The Associated Press analysis of the president's handling of this crisis, Obama doesn't like labels for himself or catchphrases for policy, so it's notable that in an administration that has, for all intents and purposes, banned the phrase war on terror, no one called the pirates terrorists. That's because, you see, there's no direct link between pirates and terrorists. They just solved the situation as smartly. Smart and tough foreign policy. Oh, my goodness. All right, we will talk about whether there will be retaliation and what do we do next as we continue. 28 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going upstairs and writing my journal about how I'll never grow big, full breasts like these.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1. Take the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Manuel in Portland, Oregon. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Manuel.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
I'm thinking as well, since you're wanting to boost your profile, what you need is a much younger lover.
You have offered to be my Brazilian boy toy, correct?
I have, yes. Did you get the photo that I sent you?
Yes.
I thought about either sending you.
What does he look like, Stephanie?
He's beautiful, and he's going to be my new 22-year-old Brazilian supermodel.
What color hair?
Brown. Right?
Yes.
Okay, see, there you go. All right, good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, who couldn't have guessed brown hair with the words Latin lover thrown around?
Kathleen in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Steph. I'm not sure if you're interested in the teabagging now that you have a new lover, but... I live 50 miles west of Chicago in St. Charles, Illinois, and read in the Daily Herald newspaper, which has wide circulation this morning, that the local teabagging party here in King County is being held by the Catholic Women's Coalition at the King County Government Center.
Oh, my.
Wow, that sounds government-sponsored.
I don't know. Well, there are two state senators who, now that they've...
A lot of Republican husbands like teabagging, from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are two senators from the state legislature who, now that they've finished impeaching Blago, apparently have nothing else to do. But it's from 4 to 6 p.m. at the King County Government Center in Geneva, and I'm planning on going.
Okay. Good for you.
I think maybe the way to address this is to protest it. And I'm on my cell phone. I pulled over into a Catholic church parking lot to call you, so I got to get out of here so I don't get struck by lightning.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So the Catholics like the teabagging. Apparently.
I don't. They love their wives. That's all I know, is the Republican men love their wives. Okay, let's go to Steve in Orange County.
I love my wife.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey,
hello, Steve.
Guys, isn't it great to have a confident president to get accomplished what he did, you know, rescuing that, that captain? Unlike the last guy who on September 11th sat and read a children's book, then ran and hid for the next 12 hours.
Yep.
Or when Katrina hit and a major city was being lost, he was on his ranch on vacation chopping wood.
Right. But, Steve, what we were saying is I don't think George Bush could have, suppressed the urge to be macho and to saber rattle during this. Do you?
Well, I don't know what he would have done. There's no telling.
But based on the past, he probably would have inflamed the situation with some sort of macho cowboy rhetoric, don't you think?
He probably would have, and then he would have landed on another aircraft carrier with a baked potato down his pants and taken all the credit.
Exactly.
I don't think it was a baked potato.
No, he just didn't undo the leg straps, so everything bunched out.
Yes.
And that's why he's
pooched.
Walking like a chimp.
It was pooching. It was pooching.
The real pilots had undone their straps, so they could stand
as
upright.
As real pilots are wont to do.
Kyle in Albuquerque writes, Mama, I was listening as you talked about the three shots taking out the three pirates and wondering what the third pirate was thinking after watching the first two drop. Apparently it wasn't Duck. No, that was...
I think all three shots were taken at the same time.
Oh.
By three different...
Simultaneous.
Yeah. Good. So, which is...
Good fun fact. Thank
wow.
you. Okay. All right. Somali pirates today vowed to retaliate for the deaths of their three colleagues who were shot by the U.S. Navy snipers. Every country will be treated the way it treats us, said Abdullah Lami. He's good.
He's
of
good.
All the pirates, you know him.
Arr.
In the future, America will be the one mourning and crying. We will retaliate for the killings of our men. What a lot of people are talking about now is fearing that about taking revenge on hundreds of other foreign nationals held on seized ships. There's about half a dozen foreign ships being held by pirates right now, about 230 foreign sailors from Russia to the Philippines. How does that work? I'm going to shoot this Russian guy because America, you know what I mean? I don't know. Hamak Habeb. He's another good one. You remember him. He's
sure.
a 30-year-old self-proclaimed pirate.
Arr.
See, I guess you can just go to Kinko's and have cards printed.
No.
That just say, R, pirate. I mean, if he says he's a pirate, you're like, okay.
With a Jolly Roger flag.
Okay.
We do parties.
Yeah.
We do kids' birthday parties.
We bring a bounce house. It's
fun. There's no ships to pirate. We gotta do something. Exactly. Then they have to be the singing pirate
supply
at the restaurant.
Your own parrots.
Yeah.
Because they were the victim of identity theft, so now they're working serving iced tea to tourists in the
in Orlando.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To tourists in t-shirts.
He said, from now on, if we capture foreign ships and their respective countries try to attack us, we will kill them. So it remains to be seen whether this is going to inflame the situation. But what can you do? You had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our captain was, the thing is, they did the law breaking first. Our captain was captured. You had to do it, right?
Yep. And apparently the pirates had land bases, you know, along the coast of Somalia. And according to Bloomberg, they're reporting that the U.S. Navy is going to begin taking those land bases out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Let's go to Sue in Rockville, Maryland on the tax Tea Party Fox-sponsored things. Hello, Sue.
Hey, happy Monday, gang.
Thank you.
Do you know how spontaneous these teabagging parties are? The domain name was bought, Chicago Tea Party, in August of 2008 by people affiliated and underwritten by Koch Family Industries, those wonderful ultra-right-wing billionaires whose father was a founder of the John Birch Society.
Oh, boy. So it's a nonpartisan internet grassroots movement.
I think they call it AstroTurf now, and it's phony baloney.
That's what I just said.
In August of 2000, August 3rd, 2008, the domain name was purchased by a guy named Zach Christensen, who works for some right-wing crazy in Chicago, the Milt Rosenberg Show. And they're all affiliated with underwritten. He, you know, secretly, you know how they do this. They have all these things like Dick Armey and Freedom Works is completely owned and operated by Koch Industries. Nancy Fotenhauer, every time she flaps those gums of hers, that ultra-white woman. She's a lobbyist. She's a former lobbyist and employee of Koch Industries.
Yep.
It's all, you know, it couldn't be.
I thought it was a spontaneous uprising by the people. Oh, darn it. Let's go to Kyle in Chicago on the teabagging parties. Hello, Kyle.
You should stop calling
that. Kind of unrelated story. My grandmother lives out in towards the Galena area. It's like a little retired community of many right-wing people out there. I believe Michael Jordan has a house out there, or did at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But they are members of a golf club. It's a bunch of old ladies. They get together and golf, and they are called the Teabaggers. And none of them really had any idea until we brought this to my grandmother's attention of what it refers to. And so she brought it up to all of her old lady friends.
And then they said, yes, that's exactly what we meant.
my grandma refuses
to wear making old ladies inadvertently say dirty things. What's more fun than that?
They refuse to change it, though. They'll be teabaggers for life, I guess.
Yes, apparently they will. All right, Kyle. You can, you know what? You can break a hip that way at
that
age.
Someone sent me a scene from Sex and the City where they discussed that very thing.
The tax revolt parties?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's what they meant.
Uh-huh.
If you're unfamiliar with what teabagging is, there's a Wikipedia entry on it. Okay. So.
You know what? I feel that you should just remain ignorant of what that is. Thanks on the tips. Yeah.
Some people need to remain ignorant. Don't sully your beautiful mind with that.
Okay.
All right.
You don't really need to know that.
Oh, right.
I'm sure there's a John Waters movie that covers it, too.
There is. Actually.
Is there? Okay. Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, the big breaking news story over the weekend, the president has masterfully solved an international incident, and that is the puppy. The puppy's here. The White House puppy's here. Okay. We will tell you where they got the puppy, what the puppy is, and what the with the new puppy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, because see the puppy's here. 46 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David in Chicago first on the pirate situation and the president's handling of it. Hello, David.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm wondering if there shouldn't be more of a governmental response than just military in regard to the pirates, because we've learned from the past that just saber rattling and fighting doesn't solve anything.
Well, yes, but I think first you need to kill the pirates that had the AK-47 on the head of our captain, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I think going forward
from here, I think we should learn from the past and say, you know what, maybe this is a cry for help like some poor child. I mean, granted, they're vicious criminals, but there's something that's going on in that environment that needs a cure beyond, you know, stealing and military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And we talked about that, that, you know, you have to look at and the president is known to understand nuance. So I have,
faith
that he is working behind the scenes on, because we've talked about there's a bunch of, you know, things that people have talked about, including overfishing and dumping of waste in that area.
Yeah.
And what's exacerbating this situation? Because you're right. Because now the problem is, will there be revenge? Is this going to make it worse? I mean, we're going to have to see.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's abject poverty in Somalia.
We have to address those concerns. Yeah. Before we start bombing.
And that's why they're, mm-hmm. you know, taking these ships hostage, asking for money.
Yeah. These guys broke the law first. You can't just, obviously you got to handle the situation. Apparently the negotiations were becoming very heated, and that's mm-hmm. why the president gave the order twice to use force if the captain's life was in imminent danger. So,
three shots, all of them fatal.
The Navy SEALs rock! Sorry, I had a Katie Kirk-like outburst there.
Yes, you did.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying? There is a difference when force is necessary mm-hmm. and when it's done smartly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the difference between some huge, like, ridiculous, unnecessary war like Iraq and how the president handled this situation, which could have been inflamed, it could have been made worse, it could have, anyway. All right, let's talk about your puppy, because that's the bigger story. Chris, you got some... Buzzing on fire. I think you asked Chris the question of the hour, and that is, why is that damn dog wearing a leg?
It's wearing a rainbow leg.
Why
in
is
that
it wearing
picture?
A rainbow leg? Is that a Hawaiian thing? What is that?
Is it
perhaps?
A gay thing? Is it a gay dog?
I'm guessing it was Hawaiian, right? Because Obama.
I thought it was Portuguese.
It was confusing why the dog was wearing. But anyway, the puppy's here. That seemed boring. Can I have some touching puppy music or something, please? The first family has settled on a first pet, a six-month-old Portuguese water dog. I've never heard of this. I'm a dog lover. I've never heard of a Portuguese water dog. Have you?
No.
The girls are naming him Bo because Michelle Obama's father was nicknamed Diddley. So you see,
Bo Diddley.
See, that's why.
And their cousins had a cat named Bo or something. There was another Bo connection.
I did not
and
hear
you
about
and
the
a
cat
dog
connection.
Named Boo.
As I told you, I'm a big dog rescue person myself, and so this seemed to slip right under the wire because, number one, the dog is slightly used. Apparently, it didn't work out with another family, so technically it's a rescue. And secondly, it's from Ted Kennedy, who is obviously dying of brain cancer, so you can't really...
And isn't he a breeder of Portuguese water dogs?
Well, he owns several. I don't know if he breeds them.
Okay.
Listen... Don't make the tax revolt. Don't make that joke in there anywhere. Don't say teabagging. This has nothing to do with this story.
I wasn't going to.
He owns several Portuguese water dogs himself. I don't know if he breeds them. He said, we couldn't be happier to see the joy that Bo is bringing to Malia and Sasha. We love our Portuguese water dogs and know that the girls and their parents will love theirs, too. Throughout the days, this is like the sad state of our journalism. There's this huge international incident going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much all you heard about, isn't it, over the weekend?
Yeah.
Celebrity websites and bloggers were abuzz with rumors of the first family's selection. One site even claimed it had pictures of the future first pet. And then the Washington Post is the one that broke the story.
Howard Kurtz says that the dog video from his show yesterday was its most watched video online. Yeah, not anything about the Somali pirates, about the dog.
You'd think you'd want to see the sniper thing, but okay.
No.
The choice apparently was down to either the Portuguese water dog or a Labradoodle, because these are considered good pets for children who have allergies, as Amelia does. So that's why the Portuguese water dog.
So it's a leftover dog from a breeder that went to a good home.
Okay, don't start this argument with me again. If you're here in Los Angeles, Mama will be leading the ASPCA walk to raise money for a very good cause, and that is rescuing dogs and not buying them.
Go to the calendar of events section at stephaniemiller.com for more information on how you can help.
Thank you. But by the way, the Obama is going to give a donation to the Humane Society because of the whole rescue issue. Hello, Bud in Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Go ahead. Good. We're new listeners. We just found you on the radio. We live about 70 miles out of Chicago, and we kind of like what you're talking about, and it's good. The only thing my wife was concerned about, that you being a Polish girl from Chicago, having a hard time pronouncing Polish words. So she's a school teacher. She's willing to teach you Polish.
Oh, really? You know, I used to live right off Pulaski over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, just like most languages, the it's just pronounced phonetically.
Okay. Well, I'm actually a Polish girl from Buffalo, but I did live in Chicago briefly.
Long enough
to say Schamburg.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and you probably can't say Shabilwa. You probably pronounce it.
Shabilwa?
Shabilwa.
Shabilwa.
Bless you.
Przbilski or Przbilla.
Pierogi.
Like the white eagle up there on Milwaukee Avenue.
Lech Wałęsa.
All right. Yeah. When I visit Chicago, I will come and make pierogies with your wife, all right?
Where are you? Aren't you in the Chicago area?
No, I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. We thought you were a good old Chicago girl, but you're a good old Polish girl from Buffalo.
Yes, then, but I'll be there. All right, I'll be there for pierogies and pigs and blankets. Or
whatever.
Pigs and blankets.
Burned sauerkraut. I can't remember. My mom made all that Polish stuff.
I think. You know,
all right.
Pigs and blankets is an American creation.
Yes.
Okay.
We can do something right.
Just like Navy SEALs.
Yes. Apparently, these pirates were killed with pigs and blankets.
Moon landings and pigs and blankets.
Shot out of cannon rocket.
Although I think a pierogi would have been a better. They're dense. Yeah. Oh.
All right. So we were saying, thank God George Bush wasn't president during this. We imagine there would have been some fear-mongering and saber-rattling, and then
we're just going to bomb the entire country of Africa.
He's
got a lot of diseases anyway. Take them out. Smoke them out. Dead or alive.
You think you can take on our Navy SEALs? Bring it on. Boo. Okay, so thank God this was handled smartly and toughly by our current president. You know, I kind of have really just about enough of our last administration, particularly Karl Rove, who really should be in prison trading cigarettes for his life.
Yes.
Have you heard that he's been having this spat with Joe Biden? This was him on Fox News.
I hate to say it, but he's a serial exaggerator. If I was being unkind, I'd say he's a liar, but it is a habit he ought to drop.
It's a habit he ought to drop.
That was Karl Rove, who
everything. Hello, he lied. Everything
exactly.
Out of his mouth.
Who committed perjury in the Valerie Plame case, by the way. And
he's not in prison.
Yeah, and he won't even show up to subpoenas.
And by the way...
What?
Yeah, if he were a mean guy let's just make up some stuff, Jim. If he were a mean guy that started a whispering campaign that Ann Richards was a lesbian, or if he had, put Governor Don Siegelman in jail, basically.
Or outed his CIA officer.
During the wartime. Yeah. If he were a mean guy like that, then he would... Okay, he was referring to Biden's comments that he and George Bush once had an exchange in the Oval Office where Bush said, well, Joe, I'm a leader, and Biden said, Mr. President, turn around and look behind you. No one is following. Rove said it didn't happen. It's his imagination. It's a made-up fictional world. He ought to get out of it and get back to reality. How does Karl Rove know? He wasn't in the office at the time.
But he was listening, I'm sure.
I'm sure he was.
Mm-hmm. Rove said Joe Biden was never alone with the president for more than a few moments. Please. Wait, Karl Rove was with the president every moment of every day?
Well,
Biden's spokesman said the vice president stands by his remarks.
Huh.
Karl Rove, credibility.
You know what, though? I tend to think that Karl Rove was with the president every minute of the day because the president didn't know what to do without Karl Rove.
Yeah.
Daniel in Columbia, Missouri. I'm the puppy. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Mama in the mood.
Hello.
Normally loving you, a little upset with you today.
Oh, dear.
You know, of course, we are the official gay truck driving dog showing dog breeding breeders of Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! You're like best in show.
Yeah, you're like a walking best in show.
We are a walking best in show. And in fact, our Afghan puppy got 2 points yesterday, and our Greyhound won best in field.
Oh.
It was a coursing. So,
good job.
Now I gotta, Mama, I'm loving you, but there's nothing wrong with dog breeders. Nothing wrong with this. We're not evil. We are not the bane of existence.
No, I didn't say there's anything wrong with dog breeders. We were talking about puppy mills, and I just was saying that,
puppy mills.
Yeah.
I have a little pick over there with Mr. Leftover Puppy from a breeder. That is animal rights domestic terrorist talk. We don't like that.
What?
Bad, bad, bad.
Who said a leftover puppy?
I kind of did, but it was kind of a joke.
It's a puppy. It didn't work out in another family. It wasn't a good fit. So in that sense, it's a slightly used dog.
No, that was just a little...
Like the word leftover puppy.
Right.
That's animal rights people use that, and they're domestic terrorists and should all be in prison.
I just said that as a little bit of a dig on Stephanie because she doesn't know what to do with, puppies that come out of breeders.
Daniel, all I'm saying is we have to do something about the millions of dogs and cats that are killed every year, right?
Yeah.
As an animal lover, I'm sure you agree that, that's a huge problem.
We have to do something about that, and part of that has to be that we have to acknowledge, we have to stop the importing of rescue dogs into this country from Mexico.
All right. Well, more on that.
Thank you, Lou Dobbs.
And the glimmers of hope in the economy on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. CNN's Paul Begala, the best pundit in the world, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline.
Yeah, he has a few things to say about this pirate situation.
Yeah, and the president's handling of it. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. But now, back to the puppy, the big story of the weekend. Renee in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the president's new puppy. Hi, Renee.
Yes. I guess you could say I'm kind of a Jonathan Turley-style Obama supporter.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, you know, I want him to succeed, and I like him, but, you know, I don't want any more spin, and I want transparency. The thing is, I'm not buying this whole rehomed BS where supposedly the dog was sent somewhere for about a day and it was rejected to try to make it look like somehow they're rescuing a dog. I mean,
don't actually know the whole story behind it. So,
I read on TMZ how supposedly that, you know, it didn't work out and all this. It's like, it's to conceal the fact that they bought a $2,000 dog from a breeder, from a Kennedy's breeder, or that somebody.
Well, they didn't. I guess Ted Kennedy did. Ted Kennedy, as you know, is dying of brain cancer, and he bought the president a dog, so it's a little, I know what you're saying, I'm a big dog rescue person too, but, you know, somebody was saying that kids with allergies, it is a tough problem. You can't get any other, you know, just any dog, and
right.
Obviously, I'm sure not many Portuguese water dogs end up in rescue, so I don't know.
But fine, but don't lie about it.
Right. Well, yeah, but we don't know that they lied about it, you know? We don't know what the story is.
Really fishy spin to me.
All right. I think there might be bigger things for us to worry about.
Yeah.
Joan in California on the Obama dog. Hey, Joan.
Hey, hi. I own a Portuguese water dog. My daughter owns a Portuguese water dog. At one time, they were almost extinct, and the breeders got together and worked hard to bring them back. They're not a lot of them in the United States, but the breeders...
There's one.
the breeders always want you to bring the dog back when it doesn't work out. They
right.
Do not. You seldom find them in shelters.
Well, and right. You have to sign an agreement.
The lady that just called and
right.
said it's fishy. It's not a fishy story.
Right. Oh, no. I mean, anybody knows you sign an agreement that you would bring the dog back if it doesn't work out. You have to bring it back to the breeder.
Exactly. And when it came out that the president was going to get it, the breeders started getting mm-hmm. calls, and the breeders...
Well, Joan,
I don't know whether they'll all
right.
do it, but they got together and said that they will not
right.
become
well, what I
a part of a puppy mill.
Right.
So,
well, Joan, all I'm trying to say is as a dog rescue person, I just encourage... A lot of people don't realize you can get a lot of purebred dogs from rescue. You don't have to buy them. I have a Great Pyrenees that I rescued, you know, who is...
Exactly. Exactly. So for those naysayers who think that it was fishy, it probably wasn't fishy. And
yeah.
Ted Kennedy does own three.
Yeah. All right, honey. Okay. Appreciate it. All right. And I will admit, my 13-year-old Great Pyrenees, Puff, I bought her. That was like 13 years ago before I was as magically socially aware as I am now. All
you
right.
You bastard person.
That's back
How
when you
dare
used...
you?
You hate my ass face now, don't you?
That's back when you used styrofoam cups.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Should I be concerned? You know the guy that owns the radio show, Chris, who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money?
Yes.
Should I be concerned?
I actually think he's trying to have you killed. Seriously.
Well, yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't get the money.
Right.
But should I be concerned? I just got a note. I had to sign something. He just took out more insurance on me. Guy writes, Dear Snevy, just to let you know, you received the best rate. You're in excellent health, which I guess is good news for the guy that owns the Well, he's trying to kill me for the life insurance.
Does the insurance company know that you don't eat anything?
I eat. All right. could you tell us got your organ for me, Chris, in honor of Easter yesterday? A Swedish church has unveiled a Lego statue of Jesus. Do you see it there?
Good for them.
It was nearly 30,000 Lego bricks to build the 5'8" statue. It's a Lego Jesus in a Swedish church.
Everyone needs a hobby.
In a related story, you know what I did yesterday for Easter?
What?
I built a Lego thing with my friend's 5-year-old at an Easter party.
What did the Lego thing consist of?
I don't. You know what? It's
stairs
beyond my pay grade. No, it's, we were making some sort
abstract.
Of airplane of some sort.
Oh.
But here's the fun fact.
I would pay cash money to see a picture of your Lego airplane.
I was a little drunk, and so I was really not much help. But I tried.
You were playing with kids while drunk?
I was. Listen, he knew what he was doing. I was just giving moral support.
Here, kids, have a hit. Come on, it's good for it.
Anyway, here's the Lego fun fact I learned from Cooper's dad. Did you know that the guy that did the Mars, what do they call that thing?
The rover?
Yes. They built it originally with Legos. That's how he did the model to figure out how to actually, or the Mars Sojourner, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah. They actually, the scientists that actually put that together, they started it with Legos. Okay.
And a case of
something. Can it be found at Legoland now?
I don't know. Huh. I just thought you would enjoy that fun
Thank
fact.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to George and Gary, Indiana, on the dog story. Hello, George.
Hello, Mama and Moo.
Yes.
I just wanted to comment about that first caller. It seems to me she's probably ginning up some controversy for the big Fox News story of the night.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
You know, since the bowing to the Saudi prince played out, I mean, come on. Haven't they got anything better than this?
No, they don't. Let me just tell you right now, no, they don't. Fox News has nothing.
I think it's, you know, I think it's great that they, you know, obviously they had to get a dog that the kids weren't allergic to. And now they're going to start saying that, well, the kids aren't really allergic. They just wanted a fancy dog. You know, yesterday on Fox News Sunday, Brit Hume called it a girly dog. It's like, what?
But it's for girls. For the
it's for little girls, for
yeah,
God's
exactly.
sakes.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Since they can't say that the president's response to the pirate crisis was gay in French, they need something else.
Right. Well, listen, hey, I wanted to wish you guys a belated happy Easter.
Thank
and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Phil in Honolulu on the Obama's new dog. Hello, Phil.
Oh, aloha.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
And hey,
Mahalo.
I have it on good source that the reason that the dog was returned was because it kept biting right-wing Republicans.
Ah, okay. Thank you. That's
like the Barney thing.
Oh, I see. It was a Barney joke. Mm. Donna in Maryland on the Obama's dog. Hello, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just read somewhere that, for starters, I'm very disappointed that he bought a dog. And I have.
Well, he didn't buy a dog. Ted Kennedy gave it to them as a gift.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what I'm saying.
I know. So, listen, trust me, I've been all over this. I'm a big dog rescue person.
Well, and I have a puppy mill dog.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
And he is the best thing that's ever happened to us.
And how did you get the puppy mill dog?
Well, it's my father actually adopted him, and my father had an injury and was unable to care for him, so I ended up with him.
Uh-huh.
But he's a very sweet little dachshund. He was one of the dachshund rescues from West Virginia last summer.
Right.
But I wanted to tell you, I just read an article, and I can send it over to you, that the VP's dog, where he got his dog from, was cited. For unsanitary conditions.
Oh, boy. We got a puppy gate on What the Fox tonight. Let's go to... What the Fox?
Forget about pirates. That's a puppy gate.
Thank you, Britt.
Britt Hume, noted Sharpay, will be reporting on that tonight.
Yeah.
Puppy mill Sharpay. He's a puppy mill Sharpay. Or, you know, he's actually more like a... What do you call those things? The...
Basset Hound,
yeah.
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 With the jowls.
I have said that they should put a shower cap on Brit Hume when he's on TV, like my neighbor's dog, when she goes for a walk. She puts a shower cap on him so his ears don't drag.
Boy band?
No.
Oh.
Bob in Buffalo, okay. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
Stephanie, listen, we look at it both ways. As a Portuguese water dog owner and a member of the Portuguese Water Dog Club of America, of course, we were real happy that they chose our breed. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at one right now. We've had two, and our first one was named Bo. But you're right. We have to be careful of the shaggy dog syndrome, where a dog becomes popular just because it's in the White House and people start wanting them and the puppy mills start putting them out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Dalmatians after the 101 Dalmatians came out. It's really...
And that is exactly right. We're of course, like I say, we're thrilled to death. We love them. And they're not a girly dog.
Listen, I love Great Pyrenees. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with purebred dogs. It's just it is possible to rescue purebred dogs. And I don't know if people recognize that.
And the Portuguese Water Dog Club of America has one of the best Portuguese rescue programs in the country. We're very responsible breeders, and we love the dog, and a girly dog, not so. They were bred to work on Portuguese fishing boats.
Bob, do all Portuguese water dogs wear colored leis?
Not unless they're from Hawaii.
I was
wondering about that. Now, there are some that, and you're familiar with this, dress them up a little bit, we find no.
In
no.
Buffalo, do they wear parkas, the Portuguese?
Yes, we're right on, what's that lake here? Lake Erie.
Actually, they're Portuguese ice dogs if they're from Buffalo.
Right.
So, all right, see, because Lake Erie's right there. Okay.
My mom puts sweaters on the dog when it goes out there.
Yeah. This is why dogs kill people.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Stacy in Los Angeles on the Doug. You puppy here. Hello, Stacy.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Mooks. I have some fun facts about Portuguese water dogs because you said you didn't know very much about them.
Do tell.
Okay, you know the baseball stadium in San Francisco, which I used to know as Candlestick, and I don't know what corporate name it has now.
Right.
It's surrounded by water. So when they hit balls that land in the water, they have a fleet of Portuguese water dogs with their owners in boats. And the dogs jump out of the boats to get the balls, and then they sell them, and all the money goes to the ASPCA in San Francisco.
That's at AT&T Park.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
What's it called?
AT&T Park.
Okay, and it's very competitive, and it's like a big deal, and it's a big thing to be able to get your dog as to part of that crew that goes to get the baseballs, and then they sell them, and all the money goes for rescue. They're wonderful dogs. And
cool. I had a Newfoundland, and they're supposed to be water rescue dogs, but Pooh Bear wouldn't rescue me from my bathtub. Pooh Bear hated water.
Pooh Bear was a prince. We all know that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. Let's go to Jay in Gainesville, Florida on the Obama's new dog. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, Fox News says it's a wimpy dog. What do you think they would have said if he got a Rottweiler?
Yeah. Oh. They would have, I don't know, said probably kind of veiled racist things, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Would have been funny, though.
Yes, it would have. All right. Is this economy getting better? Are there glimmers? This is what the president had to say this weekend.
What you're starting to see is glimmers of hope across the economy. Now, we have always been very cautious about prognosticating, and that's not going to change just because it's Easter.
You know, I don't know if it's because George Bush is gone, but I'm feeling more hopeful. I really am. And some of the economic indicators are starting to tick up.
Mm-hmm.
The president.
The economy is still under severe stress. And obviously, during these holidays, we have to keep in mind that whatever we do ultimately has to translate into economic growth and jobs and rising incomes for the American people.
Yeah, jobs, jobs, jobs. To me, that's the most important thing. And he talked about
progress. We're starting to see progress. And if we stick with it, if we don't flinch in the face of some difficulties, then I feel absolutely convinced that we are going to get this economy back on track.
Oh, God. That would be good news. Do you think things are looking up? That's what we want to know. Your thoughts and ours as we continue 20 minutes after the hour. Back with that and CNN's Paul Begala, the best pundit in the world, on the Somali pirate situation and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear. Things are not looking good for Fox News. First,
why?
The president successfully, victoriously handles the Somali pirate situation. And now, the economy's looking up.
Oh, no.
Damn it. President on Friday.
Small businesses are starting to get money that allows them to keep their doors open, make payroll, and that is going to contribute to overall economic growth as well as help make sure that people are able to keep their jobs.
I've told you about all these emails I get from my Republican brother, but they really are. It's the same theme that Rush Limbaugh is putting out there, that they really do want him to fail because it's more important to them to be right. It's like, here's why they're all, everybody's a financial expert. Here's why his policies are going to fail, and I'll tell you why they are, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, what? And how is that good for you or the rest of America if that's true? The president.
We've still got a lot of work to do, and over the next several weeks, you will be seeing additional actions by the administration.
The chief economist for Vice President Biden Friday as well.
The banks are a conduit through which credit flows. And when that conduit is blocked, as it has been, we have a responsibility to get in there, unblock it, and get out of the way.
The chief economist works in an aviary, apparently, for Joe Biden's aviary.
They were doing the interview on the White House lawn.
Of course they were. Okay.
Near the playground.
Jenna in Chicago on the pirate situation. Hi, Jenna.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I just had a question. I was wondering, I don't know if this is a gal will be able to answer. I mean, I give full credit to the Obama administration for getting this done right, and I'm so happy that the captain is unharmed. But that lifeboat looked to me like an enclosed capsule with a very small door. And I was just wondering about how they might have got off three simultaneous shots into an enclosed area like that.
Well, if their heads were poking out at the time.
Sure.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, I was not given the logistics of the emission, but I don't know. That's a, We'll ask Paul Begala.
Is he implying that the whole thing's a lie? That they said it,
no, we're not going to get into that,
are we? All right. Listen, we have enough ridiculous things to get to, like Glenn Beck on the radio on the economy.
We're into socialism now, but that's not our final destination.
Mm-hmm.
Our final destination is happy-faced fascism.
Oh, at least it's the happy-faced kind.
Ring time.
Shouldn't he be in prison for being an accessory to murder, for encouraging people to, you know,
to blow away cops?
Their guns? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. All right. Hannity on the
I'm not an economist, but here's my take on the economy. Is that I think this was caused by the government and their belief that every American should own a home, whether they can afford it or not. And they pressured these banks to make these loans, knowing full well that people wouldn't be able to pay it back. I think so structurally and foundation-wise, we had set
the
stage
for this. Barney Frank.
I think similarly, financially, by spending all this money and socializing the country and tripling the debt, we're going to have some short-term economic stimulus. I think CBO is right. But long-term, we can't sustain it. Yeah. A socialist America. This is socialism.
Is he already setting up that the economy is going better? But here's why that's not good.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, okay, the stimulus bill is working.
It looks like it's working, but that's...
But here's why that's bad.
God.
Sure, the stimulus bill appears to be, stimulating the economy. However...
Was he admitting that George Bush caused this problem when he said the government?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say.
The government of last year.
Thank you.
I think that's him trying to distance himself from the disastrous Bush administration.
Sean Hannity.
At this point in the Obama presidency, it's clear that the president's economic solutions, well, they're not going to bring an immediate turnaround. Mm-hmm. So can we all call Obamanomics a failure, or do we have to play wait and see?
It's already having effects.
Didn't he just say it's already working?
Yes,
he did. It's already working.
Since he doesn't have combs, he's arguing with himself, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
It's been 2 months.
Wow.
I mean,
28 minutes after the hour, back with Paul Begala's take on the economy, the Somali pirate situation, and the fight between Karl Rove and Joe Biden, and much more as
Stuart
we continue.
Stuart Somali pirates?
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Be careful. That woman is a cougar.
A what?
An older woman who preys on young men.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We were reporting earlier this morning that on What the Fox on the morning show this morning, they were asking viewers the question, what, Chris? Is the president taking too much credit for the Somali pirate?
Yeah, that was the question on Fox News this morning.
The president even go on TV. He just released a written statement yesterday completely giving all the credit to the military and to the captain himself and taking none for himself. But, oh, well, if only there were a real pundit, someone, even like the best pundit in the world. Yeah. Chris, who is it?
The best pundit in the known universe, Paul Begala.
We promoted him again. Good morning, Paul Begala.
Good morning, Steph. Moops, how are you guys doing?
I am good, and I could not be happier that George Bush still isn't president during the Somali
goodness.
Pirate crisis.
At about this stage of the Bush presidency, we had his first foreign policy crisis. Remember, the Chinese forced down one of our spy planes.
That's right.
Yep.
We let them keep the plane. And we apologize to them for forcing our plane down. It was surrenderist foreign policy.
Yep.
And now here we have really just a staggering success. It took incredible courage from those Navy SEALs, but it also did take a commander-in-chief willing to pull the trigger and to do the right thing and the smart thing.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, it's not even just on 9/11 or during Hurricane Katrina. You saw George Bush in crisis, and you're right. What a contrast this was.
Oh. He looked like a commercial for Depends every time there was a crisis. The eyes would get big and his seat would get wet, you know, and it was just awful. And I would hide under the covers. That was my emergency plan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and in this case, what we were saying is that you can only imagine George Bush would have done more of this, you know, saber rattling and would have been on TV with his smoke 'em out, dead or alive, bring it on kind of thing that would only have inflamed the situation.
Yes, or he would have declared war on Burkina Faso. Tiny West African country, we can take them out. They have nothing to do with the crisis.
Yeah.
But we'll invade them.
But this is exactly what we talked about during the campaign, isn't it, Paul? It's a, you know, smart but tough foreign policy.
Yes, and your point is he's also, you know, he knows how to keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't elevate this. He didn't make it the central. He didn't run out and during the crisis or after give press statements and really kind of ratchet up the attention. In fact, I was struck while this was going on, while, in fact, the president and his team were planning, apparently, this assault, Newt Gingrich, you remember Newt?
Yes.
Was on the Twitter, I think they call it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Where twits go to Twitter. And he was twitting, Mr. Gingrich, that, well, if it was me, I'd send the Navy SEALs in, and this is, well, I wouldn't negotiate. Blah, blah. And, you know, thank God the terrorists don't tweet.
Right. Yeah, so I was just going to say, thanks, Newt, you moron.
Yeah, he could have compromised operational security. Of course, he knew nothing about it, but that never has stopped Newt from honking off.
Yeah, George Bush wouldn't have been able to help himself. I'm talking to Navy SEALs about this secret thing, but maybe I've said too much of it.
Well, he would have worn his special Navy SEAL jammies, too.
Yeah.
emblazoned with the Commander-in-Chief emblem.
I'm so proud and happy this guy. And as you remember from the primaries, you're kind not to rub it in, I was very concerned. I was for Hillary, and I was concerned about experience. I did think even then that 3 a.m. call ad was ridiculous.
Right.
And I said so on the show, in fact. But I have to say, as someone who began, when he began his presidential campaign, skeptical, I am so impressed with how this man handles life and death situations. And I'm just proud that he's our commander-in-chief.
Yep.
Well, and also, I just thought the humility of not even going on TV, not trying to score points politically, just giving all the credit to the captain and to the military.
Yeah, that's...
Oops.
Oh. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The Paul Begala phone strikes again.
Oh, no.
All right.
I blame Gingrich.
I think...
I got to cut him off, frankly.
Newt Gingrich figured out how to tweet him off the air. We will get Paul back. In the meantime, Chuck in San Francisco on the pirate situation. Hello, Chuck.
Hello. How you doing, Steph?
Good, honey.
Everybody.
Go ahead.
The woman called earlier about the shooting, and we've got a website, and we've been following a lot of the hijackings for the past few years on the coast out there for yachts. And the boat that was fired into, the lifeboat, is covered, right? It doesn't have a deck on it. It's got a big orange pot. It also has a small window at the front made out of plexiglass. It's either 2x2 or 3x3 feet. It's tinted. And apparently, from everything we gathered, the three snipers were on the moving boat, towing the lifeboat about 100 feet behind it. And these guys all fired at once through that fiberglass window
where
all the heads were showing, which is just incredible.
Wow. We were saying that some people should play with guns.
Yes. I had heard that someone sent me saying that they use thermal scopes to isolate the targets.
Right, and it was at night.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
Paul Begala's back.
Hey.
There you are. Hello, Paul Begala.
Save the show.
I'm on a landline. I don't know what that is, but I will say that that my home is about 2.5 miles from Dick Cheney's new house.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Just saying.
It could be. Well, no, we had him out. You know, he was weed whacking the lawn, and he might have just cut a cable.
Paul, we are like the president normally, peace-loving types, you and I, but you have to admit this is kind of cool, right? Like,
oh my goodness.
Snipers took three pirates out with three shots. Think how much taxpayer money we saved. That's only three bullets we used.
Well, those guys are phenomenal. I am, actually. I'm a hunter and a gun owner myself, and I cannot imagine the skill, the courage that it takes, because, you know, this is obviously a life-and-death situation. There's no margin for error. That boat is pitching and rolling and moving, and it's night, and they're at some distance, probably from a relatively great distance. As a lifelong hunter myself and a shooter, I cannot say enough about the skill and the cool. There's no margin for error here.
Yeah, I'll say.
So these guys are just extraordinary. And by the way...
Well, yeah, and imagine the captain couldn't have been very far from any of them, so you're right.
Well, no, there was absolutely no margin. And, in fact, this is part of what Secretary Gates and President Obama are trying to shift toward, a greater emphasis. They are, in fact, increasing the military budget over what President Bush had, but they're also reshaping it for these kinds of threats.
Right.
Much greater emphasis on special forces, much more support for Navy SEALs like these guys, and less support for Cold War weapon systems because, you know, Khrushchev is dead.
Yes.
Right. Well, and the other thing, Paul, we were saying is, you know, this capture, the fourth captured pirate, you know, is going to be a law enforcement matter, much like Bill Clinton treated the first World Trade Center bombers who are in jail and not roaming free like Osama bin Laden.
And it turns out, according to the people who have gotten the most information out of captured terrorists, you do a whole lot better, actually, by not torturing them, because when people are tortured, they give false information.
Yep.
They say anything.
Yep.
I actually believe they could get some pretty useful intelligence out of this this one guy who captured. He doesn't worry. I don't think anybody should worry that Barack Obama means business.
Yep.
Right?
Well,
he used lethal force.
And I think that, you know, this overseas trip, it just more of the same. You know, as it turns out, if you want help in the war on terror and you want intelligence and you want help in terms of troops around the world, it helps if they like us. It helps if they like our president.
It does, and respect him even more importantly. You know, President Bush careened back and forth between insulting our allies, which he did with great regularity, but then also kind of unctuous sucking up like the Rush chairman that he was.
Right.
At the Deke House, giving Angela Merkel a back rub and towels with
Tony
Blair in the shower.
He probably got a lot of them into the Deke House, but not so much help with troops in Afghanistan or anything.
Right. So it's not just affection, I think, that Obama engenders. In fact, I think he's a little different, frankly, from like a Reagan or a Clinton, who really seemed, a lot of that was with them, really personal magnetism. They just loved him. I think there's a respect, which is even harder to earn, and I think for America even more important, that he has earned from these foreign leaders, this sense of respect for America. And I think that's what they mean when they say America's back now.
Well, I agree, and I think the interesting thing is, you know, the critics on the right always say, oh, he just speaks to these big crowds for his own adulation. You know, it seems to me everything the president does is smart. It's for a reason. I was reading one analysis where they were saying it's a way to also show foreign leaders how popular he is with their constituents, which is very smart, you know.
Absolutely.
It's a way of saying, look, you're all my bitches now. It's not just Joe Lieberman. You are all.
I don't know how you'd say that in German or Turkish. maybe Jim could do that for us.
Yes.
But yeah, I think. Sorry, I'm so struck by that phrase. It was not in the first draft. I think he added that.
Yeah.
They toned it down.
But yes, all politics is local. And so even if you're the Turkish prime minister, if you're the French president, and you look out at that, you think, oh, my goodness, this guy could come to my country and win an election. I had really better make sure that I don't alienate him.
Right.
That's enormously powerful. And it is a force multiplier, I guess, as the military folks would say.
Right. Well, and, you know, George Bush, you had an unpopular president asking them to do unpopular things. So, you know, it can only get better from here, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is, and I'm interested to see our friends on the right. I'm glad you're following that, so I don't have to. although I do, two things every day. I watch Fox News and I read the Holy Bible, so I know what both sides are up to.
Yes.
But apparently, that's what they're saying now. Oh, he's grandstanding.
Yes.
This yeah.
is so ridiculous. By not calling a press conference, by privately phoning the rescued captain, that's somehow grandstanding.
Yeah, I know exactly. Well, and
he was going to send the dog in actually after them too. That's why he got the water. Right. Super water dog.
And as you know, what you do get to see on the Fox News is Karl Rove, who, in our opinion, should be in prison trading cigarettes for his life, but is opening his pie hole regularly. What is the deal with this fight between him and Joe Biden?
Well, it's obviously, Biden is not engaging in this. I think it's wise, because you don't want to get in a battle of wits with an unarmed opponent. Karl is I've known him a long time. Actually, we've always gotten along well, I guess because the only campaign I ever did against him, he started out ahead by 47 points, and I beat his ass by 10.
Yeah!
Go,
Paul!
Not that you're keeping track.
I'm not as intimidated by Rove as some of these people, but he's trying to get attention, and he's trying, I think, to throw this new president and vice president off their stride, and I think they're wise not to rise to the bait. But I would point out to my friend Karl that he ruined the country!
Yeah.
Please, before, what the Bible says, before you criticize the speck in your neighbor's eye, remove the plank from your own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This guy has a lumberyard in his eye.
Yeah. And him calling anyone else a liar is kind of rich.
Yeah.
It is spectacular. But this is, I do know him a long time. Karl, you know, like a lot of us, but he suffers from projection. In other words, he accuses others of that mm-hmm. which he knows he's guilty of.
Call yep. me Dr. Freud.
So he knows he's a liar. And he knows he ruined the country, and frankly, he endangered the country.
Yes.
Look, Iran is much stronger today. North Korea is much stronger today. Even Russia, a potential adversary, much stronger today, all because of the Bush policies that Karl supported.
Yep.
And so, of course, he looks at the wreckage that he's created, and he then tries to project that onto the president, the vice president. I think they're wise not to rise to the bait. That's for people like me. God made people like me to smack Karl around.
Yeah, well, I tell you, that is a – wow, that's just a dwindling a living. The pundits that want to criticize Barack Obama, they're left with the bow gate, that he looked like he bowed slightly to the Saudi leader. That's pretty much all they've got now.
Right, as opposed to Bush, who linked arms with him like they were rockets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was holding hands, not in a gay way, of course.
No.
In fact, he actually was, I think, applying to be the king's fifth wife.
Paul Begala, you're the best pundit in the known universe. Thanks for taking time for us, as always, honey.
Thanks, Steph. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Jim.
All Yay! Right, there he goes, Paul Begala.
What was that phrase you wanted me to test with?
You're all my bitches now.
Oh, yes.
45 minutes after the hour.
You probably do it in German.
Hündinnen. Ihr seid alle jetzt meine Hündinnen, which doesn't make much sense.
Okay.
Because bitch doesn't have the same connotation,
right.
Literally. Okay.
Okay.
Some things don't translate well.
All right. Karl Rove opened his gap yet again. We'll tell you what he said when we come back as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. I am already having a fantastic time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dina in Washington on the pirate situation. Hi, Dina.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Love your show.
Thank
love
ya.
Obama. I know it's a comedy show, but about the pirates, I think it's important to remember what the mainstream media never tells us, and the Huffington Post had a good article on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said they were not going to harm the captain. They just wanted to use him for negotiations.
Well, then why did they stick an AK-47 to his head?
I don't know.
Yeah. That tends to make others in the military nervous.
Do you know why they're doing what they're doing?
The pirates?
We talked about this the other day, but...
Well, I listen every day I can, and that's almost all the time.
Right. Well, what's your point? Why do you think they're doing it?
Because Europe and other countries have been dumping nuclear waste in their waters and overfishing their waters for years, ever since their government failed.
Well, then why take an American ship hostage?
Because we're part of the problem.
You're not justifying what these pirates are doing, are you?
But
no, I'm not justifying it. But I
there's
mean,
another side of the story.
They have been exploited.
Mm-hmm.
And what can they do to help themselves?
Right. Well,
they're desperate. They're desperate, starving people.
Mm-hmm.
But when one of our people has an AK-47 pointed at his head, we need to take action. Sorry.
All right. You've stunned her into submission. Dean, are you still there?
I am.
Yeah, all right. I mean, we're just saying that, you know, once they've broken the law, what are you going to do? I mean, they've already kidnapped an American captain. I mean, mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. The you know, situation is larger than this. And in
we've
the future, you got
to... We've adopted the frangela foreign policy.
What's that?
We've adopted the frangela foreign policy.
Which is?
If you get one of ours, you know, look out.
Yeah.
So they said. They said.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Dina, what would you suggest that we should have done then?
It seems so tragic to kill them when... You know, they haven't killed any of ours, and I know we were trying to prevent that, Chris. I know that, but how about reporting all of the story?
Well, all I'm saying,
making us heroes. How about telling
well, Dina, the problem is
and trying to do something for them.
The problem is obviously the president gave the order twice. If the captain's life was in imminent danger, in the opinion of the vice admiral out there, the negotiations were getting heated, and his life was in imminent danger. As Chris mm-hmm. was saying, they pointed an AK-47 at his head.
They were negotiating, and the negotiations were going nowhere. So.
Right.
Right. Well, and like at the beginning of the conversation, I'm saying my point is not just that it happened the way it happened, but that people, they should be reporting the whole story.
You know what? In the future, we can do something about the overfishing and the dumping of nuclear waste and whatever we find out they've been doing. But in this instance, one of our guys' life was in danger, so we needed to take action.
And I wasn't just talking about this instance.
Okay.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that, look, the president, I certainly is someone, as I said earlier, that understands nuance and I think does look at, you know, has even stopped using the term war on terror. As I've said many times, you know, it's Pat Buchanan that talked about Al-Qaeda and said, look, they don't hate us for our freedom. They hate us for our policies. You know, and if you want to talk about appeasers, George Bush is the one that took our troops out of Saudi Arabia, which was the main thing that Osama bin Laden asked for.
I'm not putting Obama down. I work for Obama.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I hear you. I know I hear what you're saying.
Other than the Huffington Post, I haven't found
it. We reported on it on Friday.
No, we talked about it, Dean, on Friday. But I get what you're saying is going forward, because you do have to wonder, is this going to make it worse now or better? Is there, you know, is it going to dissuade them, or is there going to be revenge? And how do you solve the problem long term? And you're right. And what happens to the other, you know, there's whatever it is, right? A couple hundred hostages being held now. So not ours, but other countries.
Right.
So all right, Dina, thank you. All right, the president is giving a press conference live now.
It reminds us of why we do the work we do. Before I discuss the purpose of my visit to the Department of Transportation today, I want to take a moment to say how pleased I am about the rescue of Captain Phillips and his safe return to the U.S. officer this weekend. His safety has been our principal concern, and I know this came as a welcome relief to his family and his crew. I had a chance to talk to his wife yesterday, and as she put it, she couldn't imagine a better Easter than seeing his safe return. And I'm very proud of the efforts of the U.S. military and many other departments and agencies that work tirelessly to resolve this situation. I share our nation's admiration for Captain Phillips' courage and leadership and selfless concern for his crew. And I want to be very clear that we are resolved to halt the rise of piracy in that region.
Piracy.
Piracy.
To achieve that goal, we're going to have to continue to work with our partners to prevent future attacks. We have to continue to be prepared to confront them when they arise. And we have to ensure that those who commit acts of piracy are held accountable for their crimes. Now, as we work to ensure America's safety out on the seas, I want to discuss what we're doing to restore economic security here at home, to revitalize our nation's infrastructure and create good jobs across America. It has been nearly 3 months since I first took office, and I think it's fair to say that we've been a little busy. Faced with an extraordinary economic crisis, we've responded with extraordinary action, action that's both unprecedented in scale and unprecedented in its speed. We developed plans to stabilize our housing market, to unfreeze our credit markets, and to ensure the survival of our auto industry in this new century. We passed a budget that cuts our deficit in half while making investments to spur long-term growth and lasting prosperity. And because we know that people are hurting right now, and we need to create jobs and get money into people's pockets.
I'm sorry, but you know what? He is kind of a superhero. He's just like, all right, some other pirate thing, done.
Whatever.
He said he
wants right. Into privacy. Do you hear it?
Yeah. I'm sure Sean Hannity is going to be all over
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something is going to be said about that on Fox tonight. Seriously. Yeah.
Right. The rights to privacy around the Horn of Africa? All right.
Well, they're so bitter about the left making fun of Bush's screw-ups that they're just going to jump all over this one.
All right, that's it for us today. 57 minutes after the hour, I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.